Welcome to the Sports Cards Podcast. Today I will be talking with Chris J., owner of the Hobby Box in Wilmington, North Carolina. Many know Chris from his box breaks on YouTube. First, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the hobby world right now. Strasburg Mania and TiVo Mania. First, let's talk about Strasburg. I'm really hesitant to buy any of his cards at the prices they're going for. I'm wondering if everyone's forgotten about Kerry Woods, Mark Pryor, and Jabba Chamberlain. I just have a hard time thinking a rookie pitcher who gets hurt already, like, what, twice, will hold his value. I believe Bryce Harper will have a better value over the long haul. Now on the Tebow. I think Tebow is a great college football player. I just do not know how well it'll translate in the NFL. Also, it doesn't help that Kyle Orton has looked good in the preseason and has signed an extension. I think Tebow is at least 2 years out before he starts. Unless, of course, Orton hurts himself. But I think it would be in the best interest of the Broncos to bring him along slowly and let him develop while Orton quarterbacks, like the Packers did with Rodgers. Though Rodgers is more NFL-ready than Tebow is now. Still, I think his card's a little high for any kind of return on investment. The other day I started a post talking about pack searching. And I was wondering why they do it and what do they get out of it. And as I was searching along, I found out that they don't really get much out of retail pack searching. They get, you know, memorabilia hits, nothing really spectacular. But the thing is, they're taking these hits from kids that go and collect them. I know that the kid card gets used a lot on the retail side. And that, oh, but the poor kids. And yes, there are some kids that probably do pack search. But I really don't think there's much profit in for them, other than that they search these packs, get the hits, or turn around and sell them on eBay as a hot pack. So I decided to do a little investigation. I went on packsearchers.com. I registered, and I started reading some of their posts. Now, these guys believe that they're doing a service to everybody. They think that this is their way of getting back at the card companies for their high prices on hobby boxes. They say, like, they can go to the Ginter, get a 2010 Allen Ginter pack searching, and get all the hits that you're wasting your time getting out of a hobby box. And yes, I have seen some pretty crappy hobby box breaks. So they'll go through the whole entire area of Kmart's, Target's, Walmart, and just take all the hits out. And they also believe that by doing this, they're hitting in the card companies in the pocketbooks, which are really not. They're hurting other hobby collectors by turning around and selling them online or selling these hot packs. But they also believe that if the card companies really wanted to stop them, they would make it harder. They'd make decoys with indents in them so that they'd feel like a hit, or they would make it where you can't see through the packs. They make a convincing argument for pack searching that the card companies can prevent it. So is it our place to lobby with the card companies to make it harder for these people to pack search? What should we do? If you have any suggestions, write me at sportscardspodcast@gmail.com. Now let's talk about the cards the collector should be getting at a low price so they can sell or trade at a higher price later on. I came up with my top 10 players from the NFL. Number 1, Devin Thomas. Plays for the Redskins, and Redskin fans are avid collectors. He's in his third year, and usually that is when wide receivers have their breakout years. Some of the cards I saw go on eBay were 08 SP Authentic Auto Logo, numbered to $4.99, sold for $51.09. Also, an 08 Exquisite is going for $119.95. Buy it now. I think he's just going to have a big year. My number 2 pick is Jamaal Charles. Yes, I know Thomas Jones is there, but I think that Charles will get most of the carries. The only downside is the small market of KC. Some of the cards I saw go for sale on eBay were an 08 SP Authentic Patch Auto numbered to $9.99 that went for $85.08. His SP Threads Letterman Auto went for $74.99. And his 08 Exquisite numbered to $199 was oddly enough sold for $199 on eBay. My number 3 pick is Early Doucette. Larry Fitzgerald is speaking highly of him. Fitz says he's tough like Bolden. Downside, Matt, I'm not Kurt Warner, Leinart, and Steve Breston. Upside, cards are cheap to get. Some of the cards that sold on eBay were his 08 SP Authentic patch numbered to $9.99, sold for $36.14. His 08 SP Rookie Threads Letterman auto numbered to 42, sold for only $6.19. That is crazy cheap. And if he has any kind of ear like Bolden, his cards will skyrocket. So if you can get them now. My fourth pick is Michael Busch. I think he is poised to have a breakout season. Upside, Raider fans are avid collectors, and it's a nice market size too. His cards that sold on eBay were an 07 Topps Rookie Premier Auto, sold for $21.50. An 07 Exquisite number 99 patch auto sold for only $95. His cards have nowhere to go but up. My number 5 pick is Charlie Whitehurst. I know he's a backup now, but Hasselback will not be in Seattle forever. Downside, unproven. Upside, cards can be had on the cheap. Some of the cards I saw on eBay were an 06 SP Authentic patch auto, and it went for $47.07. His 06 Exquisite patch auto had a buy it now for $105, didn't even sell, and the starting bid was $19.99. So if you can get his cards at a cheap price like that, they have nowhere but to go up if he starts in Seattle, which I'm thinking he will. My sixth pick is Lewis Murphy. I'm not a Raiders fan, but they seem to have a lot going for them card collecting wise. Upside, rabid fan base, and the addition of Campbell. Some of the cards on the eBay I saw were an 09 SP Threads Rookie Letterman auto, and it went for $30. An 09 National Treasure Patch Redemption number to 99 only went for $50.99. So for this low price, why not try to get them and see what happens? My seventh pick is Kenny Britt. Upside, Young will start, and they seem to have a connection. Downside, Titan fans love Chris Johnson, so they tend to collect him more. Some of the cards on eBay were an 09 SP Authentic Patch auto to $999, and it sold for $20.50. An 09 Exquisite Patch auto numbered 225 sold for $36.66. So if he has a big year, those cards could go up, so I'd get them while I can. My eighth pick is Chad Henning. I know that his cards are rising, but they still haven't gotten to Flacco or Ryan levels. Upside, Dolphin fans and Michigan fans make him very collectible. Some of his cards on eBay were no 8 SP Authentic Patch auto numbered to $499, and it sold for $175. His 08 National Treasure Patch auto numbered to $99 only sold for $88.99, and those are nowhere near what you can get for a Flacco or Ryan. So get him if you can. My ninth pick is Mike Sims Walker. Upside, he's in a contract year, so he wants to get paid. Downside, he's injury prone and playing for the small market Jags. Some of the cards on eBay I found were an 07 Donner's Elite Status Auto, one of one, with a buy it now or best offer, $270. That's not too bad for a one of one. His 07 Score Select Red Zone Auto, number to 25, went for $18. That's cheap for a short print auto. My 10th pick is Mohamed Massaquoi. Upside, Brown fans are avid collectors. Downside, the quarterbacks throwing to them are suspect. Some of the cards on eBay I found were an 09 Contenders Rookie Ticket Auto, and it sold for $9.99. His 09 SP X Patch Auto, numbered to $5.49, sold for only $7.03. So if you could find these cards, I'm sure they're going to be cheap. Trust me, they'll probably bring you some extra value down the road. Up next is my interview with Chris J. from Wilmington, North Carolina, owner of the Hobby Box. Chris and I talk about a few things, so take a listen. What's your opinion on the Topps exclusive for baseball? You think that's why Strasburg is going so crazy, because there's only one place you can get them at? Or do you think...
That's got something to do with it. I mean, there's only... If you want Strasburg, you have to go to Topps, you know? Which I never thought was a good idea anyway. I think there should always be competition when it comes to sports cards in general. Just like the NBA right now. Same thing with Panini. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you have to have fair market with competition to make people try harder to outdo each other, I guess, and it keeps it more fair and more competitive, so to speak. So I'm not a big fan of one company owning one sport.
All right. So I've seen you doing a couple of breaks of the new football, Topps 2010. What are you thinking of it so far?
Medium. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like great or anything. I mean, I haven't really seen any major hits. Maybe if I saw a lot more major hits, then I would think it was better. But just your standard top set to me, you know.
Do you think
just pretty much like every other year. Nothing extra special about it in any way.
Do you think it's a little confusing with all these rookie variations? Like, I was looking at eBay, and there's this, like, everybody saying these are short prints, but these all can't be
short prints. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. Because there's, like, four or five different ones, I think, for every player, right?
Right. It's just way confusing.
They redid, like, the old sets, I guess, and they made them, the new rookies, into the old set variations and stuff. So there's, like, I forget how many variations. There's a lot out there.
Right.
So that is somewhat confusing.
All right, well. Okay, well, how's the internet affected the hobby, and how's it impacted your card shop?
I would say the internet has helped the hobby more than hurt it, if I had to say between the two. A lot of people, I'll give you an example. Like, when I started doing YouTube videos and stuff back in early 2007, a lot of people since then have got into the hobby just specifically by stumbling upon my channel. They never would have done that had it not been for the internet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's...
Because I upload videos, and they'll be like searching for something like black hockey players, for instance, right?
Right.
I'll just give you an example, but they'll type in YouTube black hockey players because they want to go search and see black hockey players, like literally African American hockey players.
Right.
Well, they'll stumble upon black hockey pox break or something, and then they'll click on it. They'll be like, "Oh man, I didn't know they were doing this." You know what I mean? Just by accidentally searching one thing, they accidentally stumble onto another. And in that retrospect, I guess the internet's really, really good. Now the internet can be bad. For another reason, it hurts hobby stores in general because there's so many people out there that get so much product that necessarily aren't good for the hobby that are literally out there dumping it, which in turn makes the hobby stores look like they're ripping everybody off with extremely high pricing.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kills the book value, doesn't it?
So the internet for that reason is bad, but as far as promoting the hobby, there's a lot of good ways it's promoted that actually help the hobby. That, like I say, a lot of people are stuck in the 80s and 90s, and they got out of hobbies in those years because everything was mass-produced. Like,
right.
Hundreds of thousands of the same card being printed, and they had no idea they were putting gaming pieces and autographs and number them to like 101s and stuff. So when people stumble upon the videos and like just do searches and stuff and they find it, the internet helps the hobby in that way. But it hurts it as far as like big internet distributors or something dumping tons of product and keeping the prices super, super like at cost almost, you know, where hobby stores can't survive.
Right. So, well, that's the way it was for me.
Double-edged sword.
I was one of those people who collected in the 80s and 90s and quit and came back and I found your website, you know, your YouTube breaks, and that's what got me back in. But doesn't it kind of hurt the book value? Because you can't get a value for your card hardly anymore now. It's like, a card says it's $30, but then it goes on eBay for $2 or $3. It kind of, that hurts you guys, I'm sure, more than.
What are you saying about the cards?
Like, if you buy, you hit a card and it's worth $30, Beckett says it's worth $30, but you see it on eBay and people are buying, like, for $3. So how's,
because
this makes it hard for anybody to get any kind of value out of their cards, because. Is it more that people
value is basically determined by the secondary market. It's only what will people willing to pay. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
if
you think,
do Mantle, if someone is only willing to pay $5 for it, then it's only worth $5, even though the book might say $50,000.
So you think Beckett should start reflecting more eBay prices? Or?
I mean, personally, I don't deal with Beckett, but I don't really follow their magazine.
So. Oh, so who do you, who do you base your cards on? I'm just picking somebody I don't
eBay.
eBay, see, exactly. So you go by what eBay's selling it for, so you sell your card.
Yeah, I pretty much just follow it on there and see what the secondary market's determining the value of the card to be. Like you just said, so, and once in a while you'll see Beckett will have something listed at 100 and they're actually selling for 120 or something because they hadn't updated it, that section yet or something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So necessarily just because when a book is just a suggestion of an idea of where it should be around, I guess.
Right.
So
well, the best idea is if you're going to sell it on eBay.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
I'm a fan versus eBay. You can take an aggregate like above like 100 of them or 50 of them that have sold, and you can get a roundabout average of what the real value is. Sell value. You see what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Well, the best bet is just to get it early and put it on eBay if that's what you want to do, because then there's no.
If you're looking to sell, the best time as soon as it comes out, just go ahead and sell the stuff if that's what you're looking to do. Some people collect it, so.
Yeah.
You know, and cards are worth more than one person than they are the other. Just
exactly.
Who's getting it, I guess.
So what do you think the future of the hobby looks like in the future? Like, 2020, what do you think it's going to be like? Is it going to be, you think there'll be more, less card shops, or?
If I had to take a guess, I would say there'd be less. Yeah, if I was going to say there'll be more versus less, I would say less, not 2020.
All right. Do you think?
I'm taking a guess. It's like I say, like we were talking about earlier with the internet, everything's moving toward that, and it's so hard for a hobby store to stay in business because the internet distributors or / wholesalers or something, they dump stuff so much that it makes you look like at the hobby store you're trying to rip people off, and for that, people are going to move over. Probably if they want to purchase cards, they probably lean more toward buying from the internet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that really hurts hobby stores from like starting up. So that's I would say it would be less. I had to take a guess.
And so your YouTube breaks probably helped your business a lot, didn't it, by doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The YouTube breaks helped me out tremendously. Yeah. And all those boxes, honestly, I mean, I have to mark them down, too, because you got to try to compete. Sometimes I can't even get close to, like, some of these, you know, I'm talking about blow up all these people.
Right.
It's hard to get near their price, and so sometimes you've almost got to give it away just to try to compete with these people. But
right.
But if you do the lot, if you over volume and stuff, it pays, it helps me out a lot. So I appreciate everybody that
I personally like hobby shops still because you can see the cards in person. You can actually see a person and deal with them. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Make trades or whatever.
I even said it on my videos on my other channel that if you had to choose between shopping at a hobby store or online, and I sell online, and I even said in my video, so you think this would be hurting me.
Right.
But I said, if you had a choice between shopping online and in a hobby store, you should probably choose a hobby store because the person probably needs the money to help their business and feed their family more than so than, say, a big company online.
Right. I agree, and you also get that whole, you get a whole deal system going along. You get a connection with your hobby store owner, and you know, mm-hmm. he can know when he gets cards that you would like, he'll call you up and stuff like that, so.
Exactly.
It's just better. So, my last question is, who do you collect for your PC? Do you have a, I never hear you talking
about it. I have a video up about it. I was collecting Solomon Jones from the Atlanta Hawks, but he moved to Indiana Pacers, and since then I really haven't looked for much of his cards, but I probably have one of the biggest collections of that dude, like a lot of his 101s and stuff, Super Fractors, X-Fract, I mean, printing plate exquisite 101 autographs, stuff like that. Terrence Williams, I'm a fan of. Got quite a few of his autographs, jersey autographs and stuff. MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew, just because I used to live in Ponte Vedra Beach, which is right outside of Jacksonville. I started following him, so I'm a fan of him. Plus, I have, like, probably a three-row shoebox of just, like, rookie autographs. I mainly collect rookies, so.
All right.
You never know. One day, if they'll turn on you, be like, "Oh, cool! I got a bunch of his cards."
Yeah, well, that's one thing I started to post on about who I thought was going to be the 2002 breakout, and you know, you should buy his rookies now. I put like Michael Bush on there because I think he's going to have a big
Michael
year.
Michael Bush from the Raiders.
Yeah, I think he's going to be. These cards are relatively cheap and compared to other running backs, huh?
That's what I was saying about Terrence Williams. I mean, that's why I like him. That guy's a beast. He's awesome. He just plays for the wrong team. I mean, if he ever does anything, his cards are a dime on the dollar right now, I think.
Right. So who do you think in football? Do you think of anybody?
Maybe undervalued in football?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I mean, if I was going to go on a guess right now, I would maybe say Kevin Cobb, you know.
Right.
He could be really, really good.
Yeah, that's who I... That's
but
one.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Like, Chad Henning's going hot, and I think he'll have a good year, but you never know either, so this talent plays out. All right, well, thank you for your time, and thanks again to Chris, owner of the Hobby Box in Wilmington, North Carolina. Go to his website, cardsaffinity.com, and order a box, and I'm sure he'd be more than happy to break a box on YouTube for you. Next, my review of 2010 Topps Football. I saw three box breaks on YouTube with the product. I think it looks nice. I'm just troubled by the many variations of the rookies. I'm wondering which one are the actual short prints. On eBay, there's tons of them claiming to be short prints, but a lot of them look alike, so I'm thinking they're just the regular print. Also, I'm not really liking the gold cards. I remember when Topps issued gold cards. I thought they were a great concept, but now they're numbered to 2010. I'm not that fond of them. I think they should make less of them. Maybe number them to 999. That way, if you do go and make a set, you know there's only 999 possible sets instead of 2010. I will say the cards do look nice and the short prints look really cool. Topps still has a million card giveaway, and if you buy a jumbo pack, you're guaranteed a card. If you're not interested in the million card giveaway, these are selling pretty well on eBay, and on some of the boards I've read at blowout.com, people are paying $275 for these million card giveaway. So it's worth a shot. Maybe you turn them in and you get a nice old football card. Either way, you can't go wrong. I believe it's an interesting promotion. Overall, my impression with 2010 Topps is mild. I think it doesn't a pinch to get your football fix, so buying a box of the jumbo is a pretty good idea. You can pretty much get all the rookies, and you get two autos and one memorabilia per box, and a chance at a rookie premier autograph, which are now numbered. So that doesn't make it the worst purchase out there. So pick up a box and have fun breaking. Who knows, you may get a nice card. Now, I did a break of 2006 playoff bonus packs, which you can get on blowout cards for $11.99 a pack. This was the first time opening the product. I do like the designs. I also like that all the cards were rookies. So you can get your Vince Young, Reggie Bush, D'Angelo Williams, Santonio Holmes, and Maurice Jones-Drew rookie cards. Also, in every pack, you get a parallel of one of the rookies and a game used jersey or patch card. I like the look of the four game used I pulled. I really like the Maurice Jones-Drew relic. My only complaint is you cannot pull an autograph out of this pack. But other than that, I think they're a good buy for collectors. On to the giveaway. I'm going to give away all the rookies from these packs. All you have to do is answer the question, who was my fourth pick as a rookie card to buy? Send your answers to sportscardspodcast@gmail.com. I will randomly draw the names and contact the winners. So listen next week to find out if you won. I hope you like the show, and if you have any suggestions, please feel free to write me at sportscardspodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have any local card shop owners you would like me to interview, let me know. I know I have a few kinks to work out, but I plan on bringing this show weekly. I'm hoping to find a co-host, so if you have a Skype account and would like to co-host, please email me. Well, that's it for now, and may all the cards you pull be one of ones.